Check, check. 1, 2, 1, 2. We are here with the man like
Swindle in the ass.
Hey, big up, Swindle. This is DJ Ill Kid, broadcasting live from the basement of Cervantes. We're chilling. We're hanging out. So, man, how was your flight into Denver today?
Yeah, it was good, man. I just closed my eyes and then woke up and I was in the Mile High City. It was easy.
Right on, man. So what was the first thing you do when you got here into Denver?
Came to the club.
Came to the club, right? Because you did something that is very important and educational when it comes to, you know, music. You took the time. You took an hour out of your very busy schedule to meet with some of the local producers here in Denver to kind of share some hints and tips. How did that go?
Yeah, it was great. People say that I took my time, but really, I appreciate their time, man. And it's nice to bump heads with people that have similar interests to me that sometimes I don't get the time to do often on tour. So it's really a pleasure, to be honest.
Right. And it means a lot, you know. It means a lot to the scene because Nicole and Submission really spent a lot of time on building, developing the scene, you know, putting on clinics and that sort of thing. So big up Nicole and Submission for doing this. So, what was one of the best questions that you were asked during that during the clinic?
Best questions? I'm not sure. I guess it was nice to talk about some of the experiences that I had in recording my last album, Peace, Love, and Music.
Yes, and we're gonna get into that. Some of the things that you did. That's a collaboration of sounds from really around the world.
Yeah, it was an album that I made on tour. It took me like 2 years. And I made it whilst traveling to lots of countries for the first time ever. So.
Right. And we're going to talk about some of those experiences and some of the things that you did. But first, let's talk about how you got into playing instruments. What instruments do you play and how did you get into playing those?
I play around on any instrument I can get my hands on. My main instrument is the keys. Although I'm not classically trained or anything like that, I've been playing with keyboards since I was a boy. I also like to play the guitar and I like to mess around with drums. Anything that makes a noise, I'll have a go at, really, to tell the truth.
Right. The way I got started out is I had, similar to yours, actually. Tell me about your very first setup that you had as far as turntable and recording instruments.
I had one Numark belt drive deck and a PC with Cubase on it, and that was kind of my first personal studio, really. Before that, we used to make music on my dad's like office PC on a program called Orchestral Plus, which I don't think even exists anymore. My first setup was pretty humble, I think.
Yeah, right. My first setup was a belt-driven turntable that also had a cassette deck on it. So I play a little cut from the cassette and scratch over it on the deck. So come a long way since that, right?
Yeah,
so that's how you kind of got started in music. So how did you kind of get started with what we call bass music? You know, was it dubstep? Was it called dubstep when you started? Or what did you get started with as far as bass music goes?
I guess it was just a natural progression because I grew up on jungle and drum and bass. I was into bass music before I even realised. I mean, it was definitely never used the name bass music, but that's a big part of music in London anyway, I guess, which stems from so many different things, goes back so far rooted in our culture as Londoners, that I guess it was just a natural progression, really.
Right. So you mentioned drum and bass. Some of my favorite artists that I, you know, started out with as far as drum and bass was like, you know, Bad Company, Pendulum, Ronnie Size, Fabio, Groove Rider. Who are some of the artists that you can remember really making an impact in the drum and bass scene when you started?
Bad Company. I was the biggest Bad Company head ever. Ronnie Size, Dillinger was a big one for me. Crust. It was a big one for me. Move and Fusion. Renegade Hardware, Ram, Full Cycle, Prototype.
Right, right. Yeah, man. There's a lot of, you know, Bad Company's actually back now. You know that, right?
Yeah. That excites me a lot. I hope new music comes from that. I know there's some shows going on. I'd really like to hear some new.
Right, right. We'll have to wait and hold tight, see if they come do American thing with the whole Bad Company crew. So, all right. So moving forward, how did you get involved as far as dubstep and Butters and doing your own thing and incorporating jazz? How did all that come together?
It all really started with grime, to be honest. The jazz element is just a natural element to me, and it's just something that comes out in my music without much effort. But trying to find my way in grime music kind of stuck me to the tempo of 140, and coming from where I'm coming from, association with dubstep and all these different sounds, kind of, for me, it all feels like the same thing between like grime, dubstep, bassline, garage, all of it. There's like a common thread. That's what interests me the most, to be honest.
So when it comes to grime, is it the lyrics? Is it the beat? Is it both? Like, what makes grime? How would you describe grime as opposed to hip-hop? Or is grime part of hip-hop?
I mean, different people tell you different things, but I'm always going to say it from a producer perspective where the sounds are noticeably different. More so inspired by dancehall and garage as opposed to hip-hop. And sonically, it kind of just has a different texture to hip-hop. From my perspective, but an MC might tell you something different.
Yeah. Right. So grime can still be beats, right? Without an MC, it can still be grime, right? And that's kind of what put Butters on the map, don't you think? At least in my opinion, you know, seeing the whole Butters take over. I mean, you know, it's been big impact here in America, and it's a lot of it is instrumental. So grime can be instrumentals, right? Without an MC, grime can be instrumentals.
Butters was formed because there wasn't a visible outlet for the production side of grime, and Elijah and Skillin really saw that gap and just weighed in on it, and that's kind of how the movement started, really. Just a collection of friends who made beats and wanted to contribute something different to grime.
Right, right. So how did you get hooked up with Butters? Was it... were you part of the beginning of Butters? Did you come in a little bit later? Did you know these guys from back in the day? Were you friends? Did you meet at a party? How did that kind of...
We were introduced by Terra Danger. He's like a legendary grime producer from London. And we were there from the beginning. Like, the first releases were with us. So it's, we really are just a collection of friends, to be honest. Yeah, we're the misfits.
right. So it's been a long and wild ride with Butters. You have performed with a lot of the crew here in Denver. You've performed on your own. So is there a difference when you actually play with the Butters crew as opposed to when you do your own kind of thing? Is there a gap between the jazz and the grime, or is it all together? You know, how do you what's the difference between your solo set and when you play with them? Is there any difference, or is it pretty much the same?
The only difference is I'll stay away from playing tunes of people who are also playing on the same night.
Right.
Other than that, it's the same. There's definitely a competitive element to Butters parties. Me personally, man, I go for the neck, you know, like any lineup I'm playing on, I always try and in a positive way get competitive and try and take the night, and I think we all have an element of that to us, which makes for a good party, which is why the parties are so hype, because everybody is just trying to better the last set.
Right.
But it's healthy, and like I say, it makes for a good party, I think.
So when the crew plays together, is like you have the tunes that y'all make and then some tunes that other people make. Is there any sort of conversation that happens between the crew about who's going to play what, who gets to play this, who gets to play that? I mean, is there any time when y'all play together and you play some of the same tunes ever? Or is it a discussion, or you just know what time it is?
Once someone's played a tune, no one else can touch it. Like, we'll try not to have the same tune played twice in a night.
Right.
So yeah, we'll stay away from each other's stuff.
Well, big up, man. Since you've done release, you know, stuff with Butters, and you know, kind of done your whole thing, man. Now, you just recently released your album by the name of?
Peace, Love, and Music.
Right, and Peace, Love, and Music was, well, I'll ask you, what was that, I mean, what was that album all about? What is the album all about?
That album is an album I recorded on the road while I was touring, and I guess the main intent of the album was to showcase all the things that different people from different cultures and different countries and different languages have in common through the energies of peace, love, and music.
Right, right. So, what were some of the places that you experienced and visit while you're making an album?
I recorded and wrote music in Shanghai, China, Tokyo, Japan, Denver, Colorado, LA, London, Glasgow, Cape Town, South Africa. Yeah, all over the shop, really.
All over the world, including a tropical desert island by the name of Puerto Galera.
Yeah.
In the Philippines. So can you kind of tell us like a little bit or paint the picture or experience that you had going to the Philippines?
Going to the Philippines was just a different kind of experience because the settings are just like none other on Earth. And we recorded that particular track on instruments made from bamboo, just from the land. And I guess that made it feel that bit more special because I went home with music that was made out of the land that we recorded it in, you know.
When you say you recorded music from the land, what exactly do you mean? Like, what kind of instruments were you listening to and hearing there in the Philippines?
So, mostly balafone, which is a bamboo xylophone, and flutes made from bamboo. So, they were all handmade instruments. Made from bamboo found on the beach on this particular island.
Right, right. So what was the experience like? You get to the Philippines. So for the time you arrived in the Philippines to the time you got to the venue, what was that? What did that take? What did that entail? Was there travel involved?
So that travel was, we landed in Manila, took a 2-hour drive and then an hour boat. And then we were at the festival site. So that's something that I've never had to do before. Could imagine doing that with your tour bag. Being quite a different experience. But it just blew me away. Like, some of the sites out there were amazing. If anybody's got the chance to kind of check out the video, it's probably the best way for me to, like, show you what happened would be through the video. It's called Malisimbo.
Right, right. The reason I ask is because I actually spent some time in the Philippines, went to Puerto Galera, and, you know, same exact thing. Get to Manila, noisy airport, horns are going off. It's crazy. You're getting your ride. You get to the end of the island. You jump into a boat and then travel again, climb up a hill,
yeah.
And you're, you know, to the spot. But, by the way, Malisimbo is still going on, you know, every March of every year. Miro's holding it down still. In fact, Goth Trad, I think, is playing there this year.
Oh,
so
it
should be a pretty good experience as well. So, man, big up. So this album is made up, really, of the world. It's a world project kind of thing.
Yeah.
Good, man. Well, just want to ask you a couple more questions if we got some time. How long can this interview be?
As long as it needs to be, man.
Earlier I asked Swindle, I said, how long is the interview supposed to be? He said what?
10 meters.
Right, right. That's good, man. That's good. So Nicole and Submission hold it down. The sub.mission is to move people through sound, not hype. What is your mission, Swindle?
To spread a positive message through music with as many people who have a similar outlook to life as myself.
Good, man. And you have a brilliant outlook on life as far as exploring the world and really having fun. Who are some of the most fun people in this music that you're involved with? Who's the funniest DJ or producer that you know doing this music?
There's some crazy heads out there, but the most fun people is the crowds, man. That's who I never get bored of. Crowds, man, they never cease to amaze me, man. And that's what keeps this whole thing exciting and fun for me.
What's your favorite food?
Meat and rice, man.
Do you cook?
Yeah, every day.
Okay, so imagine this. You're going into a battle, right? It's not a DJ battle. It's not a producer battle. It's a cooking battle, and you got to choose your number one mate to help you cook against other DJs and producers. Who would you pick?
Oh, man. Who's a good cook? DJ. Do you know what? Terry Walker, the singer, she's a good cook. Okay. Yeah. I might have to bring her with me.
Right. Yeah, bring her. I want to, taste the cooking, yeah. So, well, big up, man. Thanks for taking some, 10 meters out of your day today to talk to me. One last question before we wrap it up. Is there anything at all that you would like to add to this interview?
Yeah, long live the jazz. May the funk live forever. Peace, love, and music, my star.
Big up. That's it. That's a wrap. That's good. That's about 9 meters.